What's up, fam? Welcome to the Mostly Normal Gamers podcast episode. Damn it, James, I forgot to look again.
You forgot the episode.
187? We are recording this, James and I, here on January 7th. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2024. It's already as fantastic as we were promised it would be. I can't believe it. I thought they were lying. But they were right.
Didn't want to believe the hype.
It is the year. It is episode 187.
Yeah, we nailed that first try.
So, yeah. I hope everyone had a fantastic holiday season and is having a wonderful new year. Hopefully you checked out our GOTY episode. And yeah, we will, keep plugging away at what we're looking forward to. That's what we can talk about, James, what we're looking forward to this year, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get there eventually.
Eventually.
How have you been, man? How was your new year and holiday and all that fun stuff?
Oh, it was good. I'm trying to, like, it was fine. It was stressful, though, you know, like, it's as it always is. Do you ever get, like, just genuinely overwhelmed with all the family stuff?
I'm luckily enough, like, my family lives in Nebraska, so we just have, like, the one. We just get together, like, once. But I do have to go back and stay with my parents for 4 days.
Yeah.
Which is kind of stresses me out after a couple. And then my in-laws live in town, so we go hang out with them a little bit, but it doesn't usually overwhelm me too much. Okay. But I could see if you had, like, you know, have you ever seen the movie, like, Four Christmases, where, like, the
that's Vince Vaughn and
yeah
never seen it,
and
Reese Witherspoon.
It's yes, I used to have a big crush on Reese Witherspoon, so I would say from, like, every movie from early 2000s to, like, 2010 that she was in, I probably saw. But I think that movie depicts probably a lot of people's reality, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I can imagine how stressful it is when you have, if you have that many Christmases to go to.
We don't even have that many. It's just like, it's just a constant barrage of, like, okay, we have plans for this day. Now we have plans for this day. Now we have to do this and we have to do, like, it's just like, there's no downtime. We did get a couple days of downtime, but it's just like, you feel so lethargic after all of that, stuff that you just don't do anything, right? And it's just, I don't know, it feels like I'm going on vacation in 2 weeks, so.
Oh, nice. Where are you going?
We're taking a cruise. I've never been on a cruise, but Chrissy's family do it all the time. They're cruiseaholics. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
Cruisers.
Cruisers.
But yeah, so we're going down to going out of Galveston, Texas, and gonna cruise around the Gulf there and hit up some islands and enjoy the tropical waters of, I guess it's kind of Mexico down there. So
yeah,
Mexico.
Great time to do it, man. I hope to do the same thing one of these days. I want to take Guy on one of those like Disney cruises or something.
Yeah
I feel like that'd be a good time. And I've heard they, like, you can just take your kid over to the thing and they're like, we got this. And then you go enjoy the day.
Yeah, that's so. Her nephew is he's a little troublemaker, and he's like about 4 years old. So we've been convincing her brother to be like, you've got to make sure you get him in one of those daycares, because he's
exactly.
You need a vacation.
Take
too.
Care of that shit. Yeah, exactly. Oh man. Well, enough about that. Let's talk about, well, a little bit about the down low, I guess. You do need to go check all that stuff out. It has our website, our Mostly Normal Monthly. Chris did promise to put one out this month. Yeah, we'll see if that happens. No knock on Chris, but he's got a lot on his plate, I think, right now. So, anyway, you can check out back issues of that on our website or at Substack. mngamers.com or mngamers.substack.com. It's all in the description. Check it out. Or call us and leave a voicemail or text message, 507-291-2991. I haven't gotten any sick calls again lately, so that's good. And with that, let's talk about what we've been playing. Well, James, you want to go first, or you want to talk about Final Fantasy 16? And I apologize in advance. This might get a little bit spoilery for Final Fantasy 16. It's kind of hard because I wanted to talk to James about it, like, at length. And I think that's hard to do without talking about the details. We don't need to necessarily spoil everything about it. But I don't know. What were your overall thoughts? You were right. They do make the combat kind of moot. If you want it to, you can basically, at the beginning of the game, you can attach certain, what do you call them, like...
items or, yeah, equipment.
Items, yeah, or accessories.
Yeah.
That basically, if you wanted to, make the combat, like, it dodges for you.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. I was quick, I left those on. You start with them, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I left them equipped until I had other things to equip. And then as soon as I did, which is probably in the first 4 or 5 hours, I just unequipped them because it just felt kind of cheap.
Yeah.
To, like, and the combat was already not challenging. In the entire game, I died 2 times.
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely died more than that. But, it was, I don't know. I wasn't super, I know a lot of people love the combat, like, that just praised it across the board. For me, it just wasn't my... I don't like those style of combats where it's like chain combos and it's sort of hack and slashy, but it's... What is it? Like the... It's got the Devil May Cry Bayonetta style combat where you just...
Yeah.
Swinging swords and jumping in the air and all that stuff. And it's
You're just button mashing for the most part. I mean, you can... What happens is you basically throughout the game, you... can access 6 summons, or what would you, is that what you would refer them,
there's
to them
summons
as,
they call them what, summons, icons? Basically? No, they call them, I can't remember what
icons called. You're right,
do they call them icons? Yeah. Okay, yeah, because they every Final Fantasy
E-I-K-O-N-S.
Yeah. Every Final Fantasy they call summons something different. It's always like,
yeah. Oh, well, yeah, and here they're they're not dominants.
No, the
people who control them are the dominants, but they control the icons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, you get control of the different icons throughout the game, and you can, basically, each one has a different set of moves. You know, you start with, do you start with Ifrit or Phoenix? You start with Phoenix. Basically, right? Yeah. Yeah, and you are able to use, then, like, fire powers that the Phoenix would have. And basically what you can do is, like, between bashing the square button, and you can have 3 of them equipped at each time, right? And then each, and then of those 3, you can have 2 of their special moves or whatever attached to those 3 icons. So basically all you have to do is bash square and then cycle through your summons and use the specials, and then basically by the time you get back, or and then you get a limit break, which is basically kind of like, I always think of God of War as the first game to come up with that. Maybe it's not, but like,
I mean, limit breaks are from
mashing
Final Fantasy
L3 and
VII,
R3,
right?
What's that?
Final Fantasy 7 had limit breaks.
Well, no, I mean the way you unlock it, like the bashing the L3 and the R3 together is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's rage
mode, or the way you access it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So between those, like, things, you are pretty much, I don't know, you're not invincible, but you have to be, you're just not very susceptible to damage, I guess. Like, and if you are, you get, by the end of the game, I had 8 potions and 4 or 5 high potions.
Mm.
So because of side missions.
Yeah.
That was one thing I thought was cool. Obviously, there are tons of side missions. It does denote different ones based on, like, so there's a green exclamation point, and then other ones that show, like, a green plus symbol. And the green plus symbol missions, you actually, like, get something, and they kind of, by accomplishing them, there will be, like, missions for people that you know, or by the end of it, you will either obtain things back that you have once lost, or get new weapons or materials that you can use. For example, like I said, expand your, like, potion pack so that you can carry more potions. which was kind of cool, and it made the game a little bit deeper. And I do think the side missions, there are some, they're additive to the story. Like, they're not just all nonsense side missions. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of them. Like I said, I told you it took me 38 hours to beat the game, and I didn't do a ton of side missions.
Oh, I did them all.
I could only imagine. Yep. How many hours did you put into it?
I don't know. It was probably close to 80.
Oh, wow.
Like, maybe in the 70s. It's been a while. Like, I played it months ago, right? the side missions were a huge slog. Some of them, like you said, the exclamation point ones generally weren't worth doing, and I didn't want to miss something that was important to it in some way, and then I ended up going through it and doing them, and then I don't know, like, some of them, like, I just didn't get it. Like, almost all of them are the same. You go to an area, you fight some monsters, and then you spend a couple seconds painstakingly picking up 3 flowers, and then travel back. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
I felt they didn't have a lot. There were some that had some poignant, like, character development at the end of them, but it's like, it's almost like, I don't know. Did you do the one where you have to, like, go to, like, you go back home to, like, an island or something like that, and you spend the night in the farmhouse with your brother or something like that?
I don't think so.
It was so, like, they take you to this whole new area, but it's not a part, like, not connected to anywhere in the world, and you have to walk up a path, and you duck underneath a tree branch, and you see a farmhouse, and it gets a cutscene, a big cutscene. Then after that, they make you control the character to walk further up a path, and you overlook, like, a cut, another cutscene, you overlook a cliff, and then that's it. And then it just takes you out of it. It's like, why did you make me walk twice up a linear path that had nothing else along that path? Like, there was nothing for me. Just make that a cutscene. Like, make the whole thing a cutscene. Why did we do this? And it just, like, drives me nuts that this is, like, I don't know, it's just, like, arbitrary control of a situation that, like, I don't feel like I'm in control because I have no options.
I felt that way about a lot of the game. Like, it's almost kind of like they interrupt the cinematics or the cutscenes.
Yeah.
For you to do, like, these menial tasks that, like, could have been accomplished. Like, sometimes it'll literally go through a cutscene and you will walk through a door and it'll start another cutscene.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point in that? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that. I think one of the biggest harps on this game was that it was full of cutscenes and they were very long, which is totally true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that was fantastic because I was able to, like, do work while some of the cutscenes were playing, because they're seriously, like, 15 minutes long, which I don't know, man. You didn't really like the story. I thought the story was actually, from a fantasy standpoint.
Oh, okay. I loved the story at the very beginning of the game. And then there's a certain shift where it's all about this god that you have to fight. And I just did not care. Like, it just so, it felt so, I've seen this before. I've seen this all the time. And it didn't feel original. It felt like, it's like they dropped all of the exciting stuff and they just went all in on this other thing. Like, it's like they had two story ideas and they're like, let's just do both of them. Let's do one in the first half and then one in the other half.
I can't decide.
And I just didn't care. Like, the last, like, several, like, I think the last, like, half of the game, I was just playing it to get through it. Like, and that felt shitty. Like, I just, like, I had no interest in a lot of, like, what was being developed. Like, it's, the characters didn't seem, a lot of the character decisions felt like they were, like, just like, why are we doing this? Why? Like, I'm questioning every single one of their motives at this point, and it's like, I don't get how this is, I don't know, it just felt very, like, and there's also, like, this big environmental issue throughout the first half of the game, too. And they don't really, they're like, yeah, I just forget about that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Let's just deal with this, and let's just hope this pans out. And,
hopefully the blight will stop at some point, I don't know. Keep spreading, but let's just go about our business.
But that seemed like that was the big driving force, like, trying to figure out how to stop the blight, and they don't. To talk about that, and they don't deal with that. And even if the last, like, there's this last cutscene, and everybody's like, I don't know, I'm seeing people online who are like, oh my god, this is, like, those characters are totally alive, and blah blah blah, and all this sort of stuff, and it's like, look at all these, like, little hints that it's like, I don't care if they're alive. Like, I don't, like, they don't, this ending meant nothing to me. Like, that little, like, there's a little montage about characters, like, playing, as, like, kids playing as your heroes. Like, playing pretend, and it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, like, it just felt like, I don't know, it felt hollow, and I get that people, some people like it, great, absolutely, I'm happy for you. There's clearly, there's a lot of Final Fantasies out there. This one just wasn't in my top, it wasn't in my top anything, like, I would put it, it's in the middle of the pack somewhere. I'd probably go back and play 4 before I'd go back and play 16.
Yeah, I've only played, let's see, like a handful of them. Like, 9, 15, 16, and 7 Remake. And it's definitely the least fun I've had with.
Yeah, 7. 7's combat was so much better than this.
Oh my gosh. Had they just done that, like, why don't they do that? I know. Why is that not,
because they gotta be new and fresh, every game's gotta be different and new and fresh, and,
but it's like you already said, like, I feel like they're all kind of the same, like, you notice the correlation between 16 and 9, like, I don't know, they're just so very similar in what they do. There's almost this, like, always a demigod that you're after, that you either, that is kind of mysterious, and you think the bad guy is one person, and then you come to find out that that person is being controlled by a demigod, and the demigod is actually the bad person.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Isn't that kind of the MO of Final Fantasy in general?
Yeah, for the most part. I know they've done it, like there's a lot of, like, characters that are, like, parallels to each other, like Kefka being a parallel to Sephiroth, to being a parallel to Kuja, like the same, like the not a god becomes a god because of their, like, strange, like, depravity of, like, humanity, like, they've been deprived of things that most humans need in order to become a good human being, and therefore they become this evil demigod that ascends, right, and then you have to defeat them in their ascended god form, right, of course, at the end of the game. But yeah, I don't know. It just felt, I don't know. The whole Barnabas character didn't give two shits about. Like, he didn't do anything.
No.
My favorite characters in 16 were, like, just fucking killed off constantly. Like, just, like, what's the first lady you kill? Benedicta? Or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
I fucking loved her. She was a great character. I wanted to know more about her.
She was a good character.
And then she's just gone. The first Cid that you find? The first Cid?
Yeah.
He's
awesome.
I love him. Great character. Just killed off. And then, like, I don't know, it just felt like, what about, I really liked Jill until she became useless and, like, pointless to the, like, anything. Like, she just, there's a point where she just stops being interesting. And she just goes, like, all of her motives just stop after a certain, there's a, like, she has a climactic moment, and then it's just like, now I'll just be your doting wife without being your doting.
Exactly.
Wife. Like, it's so, like, it kind of felt tone deaf to, like, females, you know? Like, it just felt like, I don't know. Like,
it's the first Final Fantasy game that I think, unless 14 has done it, because that's online, and who knows? Yeah. I don't. There's tons of stuff going on in there that neither of us know, but it's the first one that I know of where they, like, have a homosexual relationship in the game, right?
Yeah.
Between Dion and his, like,
servant or whatever.
What do you want to call him? His
squire.
His squire. And then, but they still can't get past the, like, not having a damsel in distress, because you're 100% right. Jill, like, is a good, like, interesting character until it's decided that she and Clive are, like, together, and then she's just like you said it best, like, she just becomes, like, a doting wife, basically.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I just feel like it fell flat and short of what could have been for that character, I guess.
Also,
the other thing, and this is okay, go ahead.
Sorry, no. You go. I'll remember.
I'm gonna go into a spoilery thing. Okay, so I want to give a spoiler.
I'll do one more like kind of like tone deaf thing about the game. It's like I remember at the beginning there was a lot of criticism to why are there no black people, and they're like, oh, we really wanted this to be a period piece, like set in like realistic, like European Middle Ages kind of like style. And there's zero content in this game that wouldn't have been, like, that would have been ruined by having any people of color in this game. Like, what? Like, we also have, like, giant gods and magic and, like, a blight and a blue man that is trying to take over the world. Like, what is, why? Just make one of those countries have a bunch of, like, I guess because the other thing was like, oh, because slavery is a big thing in this world, it's like, sweet, just don't, like, mix it up all around the board and don't make race a part of the slavery thing, like the
right have it be independent of race, I guess. Which is what it is. And that's the other thing, man, like you were talking about their point of like stopping the blight and then stopping the, like, what do you want to call it? Taking advantage of, what are they called? The people who have magic?
The users or whatever. I don't know. Magic users. I can't. They have a special name for them. But
Branded.
Branded. Well, they become branded. But
oh, okay. Yeah, because they brand them, basically. Somehow the people with magic powers are taken advantage of by the people without magic powers. That would not happen.
No. That's like that's like saying, like, the people without guns have controlled all the people with guns.
Yeah, exactly. Don't point that gun at me. Okay, sir. Like, it makes no sense. But they also kind of just drop that one out the window after a while. Yeah. Like, once they start destroying the mother crystals, I feel like that whole thing gets lost. And, like, not that they're, I don't know, it just kind of gets buried or pushed aside, maybe, and it's no longer their focus. I don't know.
I would have loved
changed tunes pretty many times.
I would have loved for, like, the big climax of, like, destroying all the mother crystals, that the, like, your hero party was wrong the whole time, and that destroying them is, like, absolutely detrimental to the planet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They do find out that. Well, sort of. I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but they were. Yeah. I mean, yes, that would have been oops, and then the ending would have been even more. funny at that point. Sorry. See ya.
But yeah, like, it is. Yeah. There was a downside.
Spoiler, so, yeah, just real quick, just so a heads up to people. Fast forward, like, I don't know, 2 minutes if you don't want to hear this. But, like, his brother survives. How the fuck does his brother survive? Like, they don't really explain that, and then the people who are, like, find him and take care of him, that kind of makes sense, but also not really. I don't know. I wish they would have gone back and, like, explained that more, like, how the, whoever tried to overthrow the king, like, I wish they would have gone back and, like, made sense of, like, how those agreements were made, and, like, then I feel like the story would have been more full. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They should have just thrown in another 5-minute cutscene.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just maybe a few 5-minute cutscenes where you can actually, some of the stuff that happens makes sense. Because you, like, his brother supposedly dies in, like, that one of the, in the first 5 hours, but then you find that he's still alive, but there's nothing elucidated about, like, how exactly that happens, or how the original attack at Phoenix Gate occurs. You know what I mean?
Or also, like, there's, like, this whole, like, sort of, like, when you start to realize he's still alive, it's, like, ominous and sort of, like, making it seem like he's a bad guy or a villain in some, like, he's doing suspicious things, and you're like, what are you doing? And then, like, he knows Clive is there and doesn't really engage for the longest time, and it felt really, like, why. And then he just does at one point, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
that, and that's it. All right, cool. We've moved right past that, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you just say, like, hey, bro, earlier?
Yeah, right. I'm watching you. And then he absorbs the bad guy.
Yeah.
But then I don't know what happened there. There's just a lot of things I don't understand. And that's fine. I don't need to understand everything. No. But I just feel like... And the other thing is, man, I don't know if it's just because I'm older now or because there's so many games that I want to play. If you want me to enjoy a game for 40 hours, like, it needs to be fucking lights out from start to finish. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even the newest God of War game. Like, I got towards the end of that where I was like, okay, like, I've kind of had enough of this. Like, I don't really need to play more of it. And that game was less than 30 hours.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic game. But I feel like games are way too fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe people would be far less stressed out if they were making a 20-hour game with a story that fucking made sense and was, you know, are people really going to bitch if they play $70 for a game that's outstanding and it's 20 hours
yes.
rather than yeah. 40 or yeah, 60 or 80?
100% they will.
I don't know. Maybe people complain anyway, weird. So fuck them, I guess. Yeah. One more game. Well, that's it. I guess my final thought on Final Fantasy 16 is it's not bad if you're a Final Fantasy fanboy, you've already played it, and you're probably not even listening to me talk about it. But if I were smart, I would have just listened to you and AJ, who told me don't, like, not this exactly what I'm saying. Like, it's fine, but, like, you don't need to spend your time playing it.
Yeah.
Is my opinion.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm glad I played it. I probably won't be playing it anytime soon.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that they came out with those two DLCs, and I was like, Yeah, I mean, have fun. If you're looking for more time into that. People are like you, and they put almost 80 hours into it, and are looking for more. There's just, like, these Final Fantasy fanboys out there, and more power to you, man. I'm not trying to hate on, like, what you like. Like, you do you. I'm just not that into Final Fantasy, like, where they can do no wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, neither. I don't. Like, for years, I actually stopped playing Final Fantasy because I was so mad. And that was at the beginning of, like, they did release 10-2. And I was like, you don't fuck it. Like, Final Fantasy, the whole point of it wasn't about sequels. Don't do sequels to our games. Like, there's...
Don't do sequels.
Don't, like, I got so mad. Like, this is my teenage years when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Being like, this is stupid. Like, don't fucking make a sequel and all that sort of stuff. And then they... 11 went on to being like an MMO, and I was like, I don't fucking play MMOs. And then 12 came out, and I played the first, like, couple hours of it, and I was like, fuck, I don't like this game at all. It's not turn-based. And then I just dropped off Final Fantasy altogether, and I came back around 15 and played 15. I was like, oh, this wasn't terrible. I didn't hate it. And then I went back and played some of, like, the older ones, and I was like, yeah, 12 I still can't get around, but...
No.
But, like, 15 was fine, and then I played Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I was like, fuck, I love Final Fantasy.
That was awesome.
And,
I mean, yeah. I liked 15. I will... I think on my... I'm gonna buy 10-2 on my Vita.
Yeah.
In play. Or 10, I mean. I think they actually made it the HD version, so you can, like... Yeah. I don't know that I'll play 2.
Yeah.
But also, we have, I mean, and we'll get to this a little bit later, we have Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, Rebirth, whatever, coming up next month, so I don't know that I should be jumping on board of another, that game. Fucking A. But anyway, the next game I've been playing is Dave the Diver.
Nice.
On my Switch. Because speaking of time with family, thing that does make it better is a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you don't know this game, you're like a diver who also helps operate a sushi restaurant. So during the day, you go diving and try to catch fish so that you can have inventory for your sushi restaurant at night. But there's also a bunch of other stuff that happens. Like, this guy is like who's a researcher and is looking for these sea people, these rumored sea people.
Yeah.
So then he sends you on tasks to... find them, and then you are obviously trying to help your restaurant grow. So in order to do that, you're like entertaining VIPs, or they'll come by your restaurant and ask for something and then give you like a few days to get it. So then you have to do that. You have to like find the fish to make those recipes, and you end up having your own farmed fish, like based on what you catch, and you have your own rice paddies so that you can grow different types of rice. There's just a ton of different like mini games and things that occur within it. Like there's a certain Stardew Valley-ness to it, and also this, you know, like Cook, Serve, Delicious or one of those games in it also. And the diving part's also fun. I think there's just enough to it where it's and the gameplay is diversified enough to where it's constantly engaging. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, I mean, you can just play it pretty much endlessly and feel like you're doing something new all the time. There's no dialogue, but the story, I mean, it's written. There's no, the characters don't speak in like it's not human language. Dialogue. They speak in like, but the story's good. I do think it's weird that in an industry where they try to not make people who are maybe different from the norm feel like outsiders. This game, like, Dave the Diver, who's your main character, is, like, an obese guy. And they, like, make fun of his weight, like, all the time.
Oh.
It's really weird. And it's, like, unnerving. It's just, I don't know. I just find it odd sometimes where these things that are kind of, like, juxtaposed to the overall mantra of what it seems like in the games industry as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, are kind of... in opposition of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nothing that would like necessarily offend you. I just find it like not appropriate, I guess, or not really additive to the story.
Yeah.
But it's a really fun game. Like I said, the gameplay is constantly diversified so that you can upgrade your weapons and your diving gear so that you can go deeper and carry more stuff and shoot stronger things. That's the other thing, is you're basically, like, catching all of these creatures. I don't know. Maybe it's just supposed to be ironic. I don't know. Like, everybody is... I mean, how often do we hear, like, don't use the ocean? It's like a trash can, or, mm-hmm. like, how polluted the ocean is. And this game is all about, like, going in there and harvesting every resource that it has to make your sushi restaurant successful. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading into it too far, and... rather than just enjoying it and shutting the hell up, but it is really fun, and I'm looking forward to getting to the crossover with the Dredge.
Oh yeah,
because I don't know when that happens, but I just upgraded my character to go deeper than I even knew you could go in the game. So I don't know if it's something you have to unlock like after you finish the game or what. But
because I don't know what you would, because they're very different games. So I don't know what the crossover, like, do you find some, like, weird deep sea, like, aberrations?
Yeah. Or... I'll have to let you know when I come across it, because I would like to see what your take is. And I would like to go back and play Dredge at some point, too, because that game, you know, there was some, I can see why Dave the Diver was up for, wasn't it up for Game of the Year for indie games?
Yeah, I think so.
If it was highly regarded regardless, but I can see why it is. And Dredge was also fantastic from what you've said and other people. Yeah. And the little bit that I've played of it, I've enjoyed a lot. So I can definitely see why. There's just so many games, James. Mm-hmm. So many games, so little time. And here I am talking about, I keep texting you that I want to buy one of those Quest 3s so I can play Asgard's Wrath.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the one thing we did forget to talk about, James, on Final Fantasy 16. Sorry to go backwards, but the boss battles.
Yeah.
Because this is what made me think of it. Reminded me of Asura's Wrath, if anybody played that on PlayStation 3, where there's just, I mean, there are these big, like, pomp and circumstance moments, and you're just, like, mashing buttons.
It's
basically,
like, what is it called? Like, quick time events.
Interactive cutscenes, kind of. Yeah, it's almost QTEs. Yeah, too. And it really is. Like, except they're not even quick time events. You get like 40 seconds to hit a button. Like, if you miss one, you are seriously just overeager, I guess, and maybe anticipating too much of what it might be. But they're not, and I don't. This is. It's not a bad thing. It's just. It does differentiate the gameplay a little bit. I feel like there's maybe just too many different gameplays, and also Final Fantasy games are run by, like, I'm not a Dungeons and Dragons person. I kind of basically understand how it works. But if the person who, like, wrote Final Fantasy games was a dungeon master, he would have no friends. Because you make up whatever fucking rules you want. How often do you beat a boss in Final Fantasy and it's, like, their health is gone and it literally will flash on the screen and say, like, so-and-so annihilated or bested or whatever, and then as soon as that drops off the screen they come right fucking back they're alive again and you have to fight them all over again because they've reached a different phase or whatever. So it's just like, you know, I just am imagining some dungeon master where you're like, they're like, oh, just kidding, he had this special potion and now he's still alive.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah pull the
anyway, that's all I got for you, James. How about yourself? I saw you were playing Baldur's Gate before we jumped in.
Yeah, I've beaten it, so I'm, like, playing it as an evil person now. There's, like, a specific class called the Dark Urge or something like that, and you play as this evil character that has, like, incredible urges. Like, one guy was, like, when you're recruiting, like, one of your allies, he's trapped in a portal, and you have to, like, grab his hand and pull him out. And, the Dark Urge has an option to be like, cut off his hand. You're like, you have an urge to just chop that hand off. And I clicked on that, and now I have a severed wizard hand in my inventory. It's like, what am I doing?
My gosh.
What is this? So,
and it's just in your inventory?
Yeah, yeah. I just got his hand.
That's cool, man.
Severed bloody hand. And I'm like, oh, cool. So I'm going to go do the whole plot again, but I'm going to do it from the evil side. So I've helped the goblins assault the refugee village. And so, like, that's where, literally where I was just finishing up that battle. Like, it was, like, I snuck in to, like, well, they think I'm on their side. And they're like, oh, my God, they're like, we're being attacked by goblins. And I'm like, I know, I led them here. And they're like, wait, what? Why would you turn on us? I was like, sorry. So it's been really fun being the bad guys this time around. And, like, now that I've been able to do the whole game as, like, the good guys and getting the good endings and stuff, like, I want to see what... There's just so much in this game. There's so many options.
Oh, I can only imagine, man.
Like...
And the wizard hand, it just makes me think of, like, Bloodborne. You know how you picked up a couple things? Or, like, a Souls game in general. Yeah. You pick up this random shit, and you're like, what am I supposed to do with this? And, like, if you hold it or use it at the right time or save it until the end of the game or whatever, like, different shit happens.
Yeah.
I'm sure Larian's thought of,
oh my God,
like, just crazy crap to happen.
There's so many layers to this game. Yeah, so I was just, like, fucking around with that before, while I was waiting for you to get ready. Which is, I'm playing more Baldur's Gate, because guess what? Baldur's Gate's phenomenal. Outside of that, I've been, I got the Metal Gear collection on my Switch.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been playing through all
that. How is that? I've heard it's kind of disappointing.
It's just the fucking games.
No?
So, nah.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I wonder if they just updated it enough, but I heard that a few weeks
Metal
ago.
Metal Gear 2 and Metal Gear 3, or Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3, are the Blue Point versions from the HD collection that came out on PS3 a while back. So it's those versions. I don't know if there's, like, a distinct... I'm sure some purists out there are like, no, I would rather play the PS2 version or whatever. But other than that, it's the PS1 version of Metal Gear Solid, which is fine, because I have Twin Snakes. I have a version of Metal Gear Solid 1 as well, but I don't know. I'm looking around my room trying to find it. It's not in here. It's fine. I like... That aspect of, like, okay, I can play the original handheld version of it, so that's good. I forgot how, like, absolutely insane the torture sequence moments are for button mashing. There's, like, moments where you're, like, you have to resist being electrocuted. I remember as a kid, I was fine, and I could do it. I can't fucking do it anymore. I can't push buttons that fast. I literally had to, like, tag Chrissy in. because Chrissy's insane at button mashing.
I can't do it.
And I was like, I can't do it. I've died like 4 times. Please, can you just finish this for me? And she's like, yeah, no problem. Just like fucking firing away at it. And it's like, thank you, love. Getting me past this point of the game so I can continue.
And that's where true love is,
James. And yeah, so I just, my first game of 2023 that I've beaten was Metal Gear Solid
3.
2024. 2024, fuck me. 2024, I've beaten Metal Gear Solid 3 again. Now I'm playing Metal Gear for the NES. Or no, MSX? The original version of it. I actually haven't played this version. I have the NES version. So it's pretty much the same game, but there's like some added changes, or there's some differences to it. So, I'm going through a lot of the same stuff, but I like, had a different intro. I didn't have to do the jungle scene. And I think you actually get to fight a Metal Gear. In the original Metal Gear for NES, you fight a supercomputer, which is, oh, you just walk up and put bombs on it. So, I am excited for that. I'm most of the way through the second building, so I'm pretty close to the end of the game. There's 3 buildings in total. And then I'm excited to play Metal Gear 2 for the first time, which I had grown up. My first Metal Gear game was called Snake's Revenge, which is not made by Kojima.
I remember you talking about this
It's before. Not a, it's canonically not, not considered a Metal Gear game, but it did inspire Kojima to make Metal Gear 2. So, that was my first.
Metal Gear 2 or Metal Gear Solid 2?
Metal Gear 2. Okay. I know, what a fucking confusing.
It is hard to, because you know how easily somebody could just slip up and say Metal Gear 2 instead of Metal Gear.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You never know if somebody's just that hardcore or.
Yeah. But it's like, what, we don't have a problem with that with Mario. Because we got Mario 2, Mario 1, Mario 2, and then it goes Mario 64, and then we got all these weird Mario.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yes. So, yeah, playing Metal Gear, the old games. The old top-down.
You're a sucker for those old.
I love them. Fuck.
Final Fantasy games.
There's a point in my life where I almost considered trying to speedrun, like, learn how to speedrun Metal Gear on NES. Because, like, I could beat it in, I don't know, couple hour, like less than an hour or so, like, because I just knew where to go, what to do, what the, like, the paths to take, and I just decided, I was like, I don't really feel like doing this, like learning this, and so I didn't. But yeah, now I'm on like 5th hour playing Metal Gear 1, just messing around, going like, oh shit, whoa, which door is this key for? Like, what am I doing? But it's all
good. So what games are on the collection?
There's a lot. Like, so you get Metal Gear Solid for the, like, PSX or whatever, PS1. You get Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. You get Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. You get Metal Gear for the MSX. You get Metal Gear for the NES. You get Metal Gear 2, Solid Snake for the MSX. You get Snake's Revenge, that game that I was telling you about, and I think that's it. And then, like, different versions of all of those games. Like, if there is, like, a European version or versus the American version or whatever, you get all of those versions as well. So, yeah, there's a shit ton of content in this collection. And while some people hate this, I fucking love it. When I put it on my Switch, they're all separate games. So, and I love that. I love it not being I love being able to see on my selection screen, I'm either going to play Metal Gear 2, Metal Gear 3. Like, it just looks nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I dig it. It's exactly what I wanted out of it. It's what I expected out of it. I wasn't expecting it to be, like, done up fancy or anything like that. I didn't think they were gonna I don't know, like, do like these HD remasters for every game there. Like, I just Yeah, I just, it's exactly what I thought it was going to be, and it was.
Okay.
And I'm having a blast.
I didn't know, I thought there was something broken about them or something because of how people were kind of complaining. Not complaining, but, you know, or I mean complaining, but not complaining a lot, just complaining about something. They were broken in some way, shape, or form, but I guess if you haven't... I don't know. I'll probably get it someday.
Yeah.
But I have those on my Vita. And, like, with the remake coming of Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh, my God. I guess I feel less. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be freaking sweet. Well, yeah, James, with our remaining time, let's name a couple games we're super looking forward to for this year.
Yeah.
What do you got? I saw this Rise of the Ronin game is coming out.
Are you excited for
March?
That?
I'm stoked about that. I can't believe Final Fantasy Rebirth is coming out next month already.
Yeah.
And I already wasted 40 hours of my life playing, or not wasted, I'm being a little too harsh.
Wasted.
Playing Final Fantasy 16. I'm going to overdose on Final Fantasy this year, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but if Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, that game was, the original was, part one of the remake was outstanding.
Yeah.
What do you think about this 2D or 2D 2.5D Prince of Persia game?
I am interested in that. That's the what is it? What is it called? It comes out
The Lost Crown.
Yeah, that's right. Right. It's this month, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the 18th or something like that.
I'll be on a boat. I'll just be getting on a boat.
See?
You
might be able to that coming out for Switch? That sounds like a fun game to play on Switch.
Yeah, but it also looks like it would play a lot better on like PlayStation or something like that. I don't know. It's like getting to that point where the Switch, I'm worried about the Switch being able to handle the quality of it.
Yeah. But
I agree. I think it's the perfect Switch game. That style of game, right? The Metroidvania style with high action, a little bit I guess Metroid Dread is in that same vein, right? So maybe it will work. Yeah, might be something I pick up for the Switch before I get on a boat.
2D platformer sounds in my wheelhouse.
I know, me too. What else are you looking forward to?
I do think, well, that Rise of the Ronin looks amazing.
Yeah.
I think. And then Black Myth Wukong.
Interesting. Yeah. I do. I am interested in it. I know the developers. There's like a whole issue with the developers, but I agree.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. There's,
oh, no. What's the issue?
There's a huge controversy about... I can't fucking remember. I remember it around the Game Awards because they mentioned it around the Game Awards because Jeff Keighley gave him a spotlight and a whole bunch of people were angry at how tone deaf it was. I too agree. I think the content of that game looks amazing. I know I'm interested in it. But I don't know if I'm getting it on release. But yeah, I have been looking forward to it.
Paper Mario in the Thousand Year Door.
Yes.
I've never played a Paper Mario game, so that sounds like maybe my entryway into that.
Yeah, it's turn-based action. It's very Sea of Stars-like. It's very good. Some people regard Thousand Year Door as the best Paper Mario game ever made. And they wouldn't be terribly wrong. And with the HD upgrades and how beautiful it fucking looks, I think it'll be a perfect entry point. I think it's something that like you and Guy could enjoy together, right? Because that's like it's Mario. Yeah. Luigi's absolutely hilarious in that game. Because he decides, like, because he doesn't join your party, Luigi decides to create his own little party and go on adventures. And like if you talk to Luigi, Mario's just basically passing out while he's like telling of his exploits. And like Luigi's little buddies are always like, this is not true at all. He barely made it out alive. Or like they're just like, no, this isn't how it happened. Like he's embellishing it. And they're like, please get us off his team. We don't want to be here anymore. It's just so tragic that Luigi's trying so hard to be liked by Mario. Very good game, though. Fantastic. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. What else is coming out?
Did you ever play the original Dragon's Dogma?
No. I have friends that really love it, though.
Yeah. I think I bought it on PC. You know what? I did buy it on PC, which means I could play it on my Rogue Ally.
Yeah, play it
handy. But, again, I think that game takes a little while to beat, and not sure I want to go through that all over again. So I'm not sure as I'm as excited for the second one as everybody else is. And that I've heard the game's fantastic, man. Same. But I'm just not sure I want to... I don't know. I need more things to play this year. It looks like another year that's going to be rival, you know, 2017-18 as like some of the best there is. Like Star Wars Outlaws, man.
Yeah.
Fucking
Outlaws looks really good. Warhammer Space Marine 2 looks really good. I'm trying to think of what else. Hades 2. I know you weren't you weren't super hot on Hades, right?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with roguelite.
Yeah.
Or roguelike, but I feel like it, I don't know, it takes the right kind of game for me to get into them, because it's they are hard to, like, to play it to the end. Like, even once you get good at it, it's like, you're talking about usually like an hour and a half run or so, like, into the game, and I don't know, it's just harder for me to get into them. And Hades, for whatever reason, just didn't really click with me a whole lot.
The Plucky Squire. I'm really excited for that.
I saw Devolver. Oh, yeah. That was supposed to come out this year.
Yeah. Well, last year. It is coming out this year.
Yeah, that's what I said.
The Plucky... Yeah,
I saw... Did they put a release date on that?
No, it's... Yet? Oh, as far as I'm aware, it's still TBD. TBA, sorry.
Speaking of things that are supposed to come out for the Switch that make you worried... Plucky Squire is definitely on that list.
Oh, yeah. The I believe Devolver Digital made a post the other day that said they were playing it on their... I don't know if they were playing it on their Switch or if it was, like, on their Steam Deck they were playing it. But basically made a comment, like, just playing Plucky Squire right now. Because, like, they have a developer's copy of clearly.
Oh, right on.
So it sounds like it's getting closer and closer to being released.
Good.
Metal Slug Tactics. Yeah, it looked
really cool.
Looks really fucking good. I know, I think you're not a huge Tactics person, but as a lover of old Metal Slug games and a person who appreciates a good Tactics game, looks really fucking solid. Trying to think of what else is on my kind of list. There's a lot of like official games, like fan games that I'm really interested that are coming out this year. So
yeah.
Fallout London is a fan Fallout game that is using like the Fallout 4 engine, but it takes place entirely in London, made by fans. So I want to check it out. I'm not super optimistic, but it's not Bethesda making it, so I have way more confidence in it. There's Super Mario Sunshine Eclipse, which is a fan expansion to Mario Sunshine. So I'm really interested in that. And then there's, I believe, Bloodborne Cart finally gets released, which is the same person who did the Bloodborne demake, the PS1 Bloodborne demake. They have decided to make a PS1 version of like a Mario Kart for Bloodborne.
A kart racer
for Bloodborne, which that's, and awesome. It's I've been watching all of their development stuff, and it's just so fucking sweet. So I definitely want to check that out. Music looks great in that game as well.
Yeah, dude. So many. Did you ever play the first Helldivers game?
No, but the new one
looks fun. That is a really fun co-op game.
Yeah.
I've
heard that people love it. There's a lot of, like, silly things you can do in it that is not great for your team, but is highly enjoyable. Stuff like dropping from, like, I don't know, like, space on top of your friend or something like that and killing them. I guess like when you deploy into the map, you come down on like a drop pod or something like that, and
yeah,
and people are killing. Sounds I've seen right. a lot of videos of people killing their buddies. Oh yeah, yeah, stand here.
The first one, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
I feel like that came out in like 2014 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah. So let us know what you're excited for out there. Mm-hmm. How many of these, all these fantastic games, of some of which might be pushed to next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, James, how about we answer some trivia questions?
Always.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
What does MAME mean to you?
MAME? Like...
M-A-M-E.
Meme?
No, MAME.
M-A...
Tearing opponents limb from limb.
Oh, M-A-M-E. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's like...
No, tearing opponents limb from limb.
Maybe you got a different word for it up there.
Like, M-A-I-M? That's MAME for removing limbs.
Is
there other options?
Well, do you want the options?
Yeah.
Arcade, a gaming convention, a text-based game variant, or D, tearing opponents limb from limb?
I don't think it's... I think the spelling is different in the tearing limb from limb. I'm pretty sure M-A-I-M.
I think you should trust your instincts.
Yeah? What does that mean?
Yeah. Because I thought it was D, and I'm wrong.
You are wrong. Okay, so it isn't this tearing limb from limb. I guess I'm going to go with a convention?
Nope.
It's
an arcade.
It's an arcade. Okay. There we go.
I don't know where.
Yeah.
I wish they gave a little history lesson on something.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Because, yeah.
Now
we'll have to look that up.
Now I'm left confused.
Maybe I'll put it in the description.
Yeah.
In Street Fighter 2, how many buttons were used to control your character?
Oh, wow. Street Fighter 2 would have been, like, does the D-pad count as multiple buttons? Because otherwise I would say 6 outside of the D-pad?
Nailed it. What are they?
X, Y, A, B, left, right.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying the D-pad being 2 buttons. Like, left and right being buttons, right?
Well, like, I think the D-pad is...
one button, or is it
It would be one button, right? But then, like, left and right shoulder pads on the... Because it's a...
Oh.
Because
you could play it on Super Nintendo, yeah, I know. Super Nintendo. What did the left and right button
do? But it would be 6 buttons. So, if it's not on Super Nintendo, then it would be on a arcade console stick? Cabinet, sorry.
Yeah,
and the cabinets are 6 buttons, 2 rows of 3, and then the analog stick.
Gotcha.
So I'm assuming the Super Nintendo had left and right on it.
It did. Those I just don't
be,
remember.
Well, what I mean, they do. Like those would be those extra buttons. Those. So which I imagine.
I can't remember for the life of me what they did.
Would be like punch, heavy punch, kick, heavy kick, or whatever, light kick. I don't know. You know, those fighting game mechanics? I'm trying to remember how it is. All I know is you push half circle to the left or half circle to the right and the punch button for a Hadouken.
Yeah. Dead or Alive falls into which gaming genre?
Fighting.
Survival horror, comedy, action-adventure, fighting, or super horny?
Yeah, fighting and super horny.
I added the last one. Because I feel like if super horny were a category, that's where it would fall into. Do you remember like Dead or Alive Volleyball?
Yeah, Beach Volleyball.
Came out for like PlayStation 2 or like 3 or 4.
Everybody's nuts about the
I think it was PlayStation boobs, 3, wasn't it?
Boobs physics.
Yeah, I don't even... I mean, I never played it, but... I think it was just, like, a sad excuse to show scantily clad
women.
Anime women.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it got a hard time, if I remember right, but anyway.
Well, it got a hard time, all right.
Good one. The Sega Dreamcast was first released in what year?
Oh, shit. I want to say 90... 97? 98?
I'm going to say 99.
Oh.
1998.
Nailed it. Second time.
Nailed it. Good old Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I wonder if... Do you think Sega will ever release, like, a Dreamcast... I mean, they could easily do it now, right?
Like
a Dreamcast, like...
The mini Dreamcast, or like all of those mini releases?
Sony did it with the PlayStation. Yeah. Like, I mean, the original PlayStation.
I wonder... They did it with the Sega Genesis, didn't they? They did one for the Sega. And
mm-hmm. There's two.
Yeah, so I would imagine somewhere down the line. Unless they didn't sell enough with one of them. And it was like... Because, like, I don't know. Nintendo did it, then... Sony, and then Nintendo again, and then Sega. I'm wondering if they were seeing diminishing returns after a while. Like, the people are like, all right, this sort of gimmick is over. Like,
yeah, we're over it.
Yeah.
I know I own the Genesis one, and it's supposed to be great, and I've literally never played it because I don't know who has the time, right? In the popular FPS Doom, the most powerful gun in the game was called the Plasma Rifle, Rocket Launcher, Nuclear Bomb, BFG. Yeah.
Do you know what it stands for?
I'm guessing Big Fucking Gun. But I don't know for
sure. I'm pretty sure they had some other name for it, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it stands for.
Did they really have a different name
for it? I think, or at least in the, like, the new versions, like the 2016 version of, like, the when they remade Doom... through like the there's Doom and then Doom Eternal, I think they had some sort of like dumb, oh, it stands for this, but like there's like,
oh, this is actually
very very apt, like everybody fucking knows what it stands for. That game was like so tongue-in-cheek, like I absolutely loved, like, sort of like the, because the Doom guy,
the original,
no like the remake, like the new rebirth series, right?
Oh, the newer ones?
The newer ones, right? And it's like, but you're playing Doom, it's 2016, right? When it came out?
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's like, you're playing it, and, like, the character's just, like, this character, like, you'll get to this point where, like, they're giving you dialogue or something. It's like, oh, I need you to do this, and blah, 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 and it's like, you gotta deactivate, blah, 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 and he just smashes the computer, rips out something, and then, like, completes whatever it was and walks off. Like, he doesn't have time for your fucking story. It's so fucking funny.
Dude, I really liked 2016. I almost didn't finish it, and then I think it was... It came out for Switch.
Oh, yeah.
And, it, like, when there was still, like, not a wealth of games on Switch.
Yeah.
And so I played it on Switch, and I thought it was fucking great, but I... One, he, like, the main character was one of my favorite parts, because exactly what you're saying, like, he doesn't give a fuck, like, about anything, like, that's going on there. He just wants to
rip and
finish the shit. Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
This one, I accidentally saw the answer, so I won't answer, and I would never guess it, because I've never heard of any of these people, but David Crane, Larry Kaplan, Alan Miller, and Bob Whitehead left Atari to form which company?
Oh. I don't.
You've definitely heard of this company, and I can probably say neither of them are there currently.
Oh.
In fact, somebody very unpopular was just forced to leave this company.
Oh, now Blizzard?
They are owned by...
Or Activision.
Activision.
Yeah. Very unpopular.
Isn't that weird, man?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if I wonder if any of those four dudes still work there.
Yeah.
Or... Because... Wasn't Bobby Kotick the CEO?
Yeah, Bobby Kotick was CEO.
And I think, didn't he get forced to leave?
Oh, yeah.
Recently?
I mean, I'm pretty sure he was very cushily forced to leave.
Oh, I'm sure.
But
they're always given, somebody, I think,
Gary Whittle. Isn't he, like, buying a sports kind of team now? Like, that's, like, because, like, retirement plan is to just buy a sports team?
Maybe.
I'm pretty
sure
he
was in Moneyball, I guess.
Was
he? So I guess that would make sense.
Yeah.
I think he was, like, the owner of the A's or something in Moneyball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's... Fuck that guy.
Seriously, fuck that guy.
I hope he...
I wanted to leave end the show on a positive note, but that's hard to do.
When you bring up Bobby Kotick. Well, he's gone, so fuck him. He's not in the gaming industry anymore. So there's your positive.
I just think it's interesting. I've never heard of any of those four dudes. And, like, I'm pretty sure they probably don't work at Activision anymore. They probably cashed the check out when... people came at knocking at their door.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. So anyway, if I didn't say this already, check out the show description to get, you know, access to the
show.
You can email us, you can reach out to us on the Twitterverse, you can, or X, and check out our website, give us a call, or you ringy ding at 507-291-2991. Do any of or all those things. Let a friend know about the podcast if you want. Lie to them and tell them it's cool.
Tell your neighbor.
Yeah. And we hope everyone's having a good new year, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
I don't know why I waved.